Good evening. As I was saying, the Lord encourages us to be content where we are. Just a few days ago, I'm absolutely amazed and blessed. Here I am in our precious little church, but just a few days ago, I was standing before a crowd of thousands and doing the invocation at the 20th anniversary of the Vietnam Women's Memorial. And I'm up there on the stage, and Colin Powell's over here, and I'm going, wow, little me, I'm up here, and this is really cool. But I was a representative of the Lord, and that's right. He's the one who gets the magnified and the glory. And it was a wonderful privilege to be able to do the invocation for the Vietnam Women's Memorial, especially seeing as my heart is with that, as because I was served as a nurse in Vietnam. But here we are tonight. We have our precious little group, and tonight the title, if you could call it a title, is "Stay Right with God." And you have some handouts there with you. And I wanted to go over a little bit on terms of Psalm 1. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open up to that. It's a very, very short psalm. But in Psalm 1, there's a couple of things I wanted to share with you before we get to that. Let me just open up to that so I'll be really prepared and ready here. And I was going over, some of you do some journaling. I've journaled for years and years, and I tell my family, when I die, don't throw away my journals, read them, and then you'll be shocked to find out all of my trials and troubles. But God works all of them out. But in January of 2003, I wrote in a journal that this was in my heart. And I just wrote, "I shall perish in the darkness of my doubt without the light of the hope you give me." And I went, wow, there's so much, we have so much doubt. There's so much we do not understand about God. He's timeless, he's eternal, he's pure, he's king, he's Lord, he's perfection. And we're like, you know, drilling slobs down here. We just don't have that grasp. We were born with the Adam nature, a broken nature, not the nature God invented. It was the one that was the end result of the death that entered in when Adam separated from God with disobedience. But God, in Jesus Christ, gives us the opportunity to invite in. He's already knocking on your door. Invite in that Spirit of God. With that repentance and true heart open before God, He will come in. You will be forgiven. And that Adam nature, it's not going to go away. But now you've got His nature to submit to. And when you die, that righteousness will allow you to be in the kingdom with Him forever. Not a scale up there with how many good works versus your bad works. There's a bunch of atheists out there feeding the poor and opening orphanages. God bless them for their good works. But that will not cleanse them from the stain of that nature of man, which is lower than God. And God says, the heart of man is desperately wicked. We are as filthy rags. People don't like to hear that. Oh, please. Pride of man refuses to admit that we are lowly, we are wrong, we are dead wrong in our sin. I mean, you don't even hear these words anymore. Sin. There, I said it. Sin. Bad, naughty sin girl, we used to call one of my sisters, you know. Bad, naughty sin girl. You know, whatever. Man has made religion as a block to relationship with God. How did this happen? Jesus was so wonderful. I mean, He came in the flesh. God came in the flesh, because if He came down like God, we wouldn't even be able to talk to Him. The Bible tells us about just His messengers would come and appear to someone, and they all go, oh, they'd fall down in fear. Oh. And they go, no, get up. I'm just His messenger. God had to come in the form. He had to come as one of us. Otherwise, He couldn't even talk to us. Jesus brings the message of God and His hope. So we have to understand, it's not a free ride. You have to ask God to come into your life. But once He does, it's not like the end of your troubles. If anyone hasn't noticed in the Christian life, in my first book, The Climb, which is still available on Amazon, etc., does talk about this. It's like climbing up a mountain, but you got to have your gear and all the rest of that stuff. It's not an easy life with God because you have this nature that fights against everything he says to do. Our mind is enmity. It is against God. We're born with a broken thinker, a broken feeler, and a broken wanter. And yet mankind all through all the ages has used that brokenness to try and figure out God or to do what's good. It isn't going to work. God says to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, we think love means warm, squishy, I love you. No. In 1 Corinthians 13, it tells you what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It goes through the whole list. It's not this warm, squishy stuff. That's in there. That's part of the emotion, but that's not the love God's talking about. We do not have the ability to love like God says. We do not have the ability to forgive like God says. We don't have the ability to do anything God says, which is why you can be frustrated as a human being reading the scriptures.
Well, I can't do that. I can't do that.
No kidding. Your Adam nature cannot meet the measure of God. But the God nature in you can. That's why Jesus was the word picture. He went to the death of his flesh. And it did a lot of things. It gave us the example of how far we're supposed to go in crucifying your own flesh, your own desires, your own thoughts, your own things, because they're broken. Wow. But his death, that sacrifice made before God to the death, then made that recompense to God. It's sort of like if you steal a van, you're going to have to go to jail. You know, I mean, you got a bad behavior. We understand this. What if you killed somebody? Or what if you did the most dastardly thing in the world? And you were truly sorry. I mean, not just saying something to get out of it. You truly had a broken heart. I am so sorry. What if the judge said to you, I hear your cry. It's true. Here, someone is going to take the capital punishment for you. You're free. That's essentially what Jesus did. Not free to go and do the free-for-all we're seeing, especially in our country today. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Not to do what you want, but so that you're out from the freedom of the bondage of death and sin. You do not have to be ruled by yourself anymore. Your best day with me is when I'm not me. This is so true for all of us. So I was reading over these things and I go, wow, if I didn't have the light of your hope in me, I can't meet your measure. I read this and I go, I can't do that. I only love you until you really tick me off. Anyone who's married will truly understand this. You know, these principles are ingrained in the relationship, you know. And it's usually not over the big things, the little things. If you don't put the seat down one more time. I mean, you know, just little things like this. We are so weak. Yet I read what God says to do. And I go, God, I want to do that, but I don't have that ability. He goes, I know. That's why you have to have me inside of you. And then you crucify your flesh. You let me come out. You're going to have the wisdom. You're going to have the peace. You're going to have the things to handle. You're going to know how to handle your kids. You're going to know how to handle your wife or your husband. You're going to know how to be a good employee, a good employer, whatever it is. The Spirit of God that comes out, it's wisdom. It's pure. It's right. It's correct. It covers everything. You just let God come through you one or two times. Go, whoa. That was so much better, Lord. Mm-hmm. You're going to love it. You're going to love the essence of His Spirit in you. But you have to yield to it. Your first stupid idea that comes up, you practiced it your whole life, it's not going to be what God says to do. It takes time. It's a lot of practice. But boy, I tell you, submit to God. Submit to God. When I was reading over something else I just wanted to share with you along these lines, in Oswald Chambers wrote a little devotional booklet was put together by his wife after he passed away, but it was on some of his things that God had shown him. He did some teaching over in the foreign lands, and what was he, in China or
India.
And but anyways, it really has some very deep things in terms of the Christian existence. A little devotional. So I was reading some things in Oswald, and he said a couple of things that go along with what I wanted to share with you tonight. And he says, an average view of the Christian life is that it means deliverance from trouble. No. Jesus Christ in you and living a life in God does not mean deliverance from trouble. It's deliverance when you are in trouble. Wow. It doesn't mean you won't have all sorts of things beset you. Here, some people, I love you with all my heart. I give my life over to you, and I'm forgiven. Oh, there you go. And then what happens? You lose your job. Your kid gets sick. Your husband dies. I mean, a thousand things happen to people all over. Just because you love God doesn't mean you are going to come out underneath the rain that falls on this earth. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. That's what he's trying to say. But how you go through, how you meet these troubles, these challenges, how you go through these things is what changes. You still have to go through them, but when you go through them, what a difference. I mean, we love God with all our heart here. We're a little baby church. We only call ourselves the emergency room because, you know, most of the big churches, all the people, they love God and they're strong in the Lord. And they come with a big wallet, you know, and all this stuff. They go, oh, that's great. The people, many, doesn't mean you, the people through the door, many times their precious souls, just how they're dressed maybe or maybe how they smell, they kind of wouldn't be able to get in most churches. God seems to draw some of them here. And we have ministered to them diligently over the years. Not because we're so good, but because God in us loves them. God in us is not offended with them. God in us is, as Rachel called, she's really sick with, you know, when you drink, you get ascites and you get liver problems and all this kind of, she's very sick and she has a teenage son, but he can't help it. She calls, she goes, could you help me with my laundry? I go, sure, honey. 9 o'clock after I drop off the baby, I'll be over and pick it up for you. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying I have a lot of things to do. God has me in a ministry. I do all sorts of things. But I have to seek it out. Okay, we'll do that. This is the kind of help God's talking about. How many times people... And Kevin, he calls me. I know you won't give me any money, but I'm kind of hungry. Okay, I'll buy you a couple of pizzas. You know, so you go way out of your way. You go over and get some pizzas over there, Little Caesars or whatever. You do the same thing, Mark. People come your way. You're doing all this kind of stuff. It's what you do. You look to the Lord. It's ministering to people. How many people have problems? You go, I'll pray for you, brother. Well, that's prayer is great. It's being in God's presence. It's calling upon the one who can fix everything. But we got to sometimes get some boots on the ground here. We gotta get right in there. These are God's people. They are perishing. They've had broken homes and broken families and broken lives. They don't know what to do. How dare we walk by like a Pharisee when a guy's beaten up on the side of the road? And God talks to us in Psalm 1. Stay right with God. You'll know what to do. Now also, the adversary will see you when your heart loves God. He's going to want to exhaust you with good works. He's going to make sure you're so tired, so tied up, you can't do anything for God. So there's that fine line now. You got to be hearing from God and His flow. So it's not a matter of, oh, in the beginning it's choppy. Oh, should I? It starts becoming more of a flow. You just know to do it. You know to go over and talk to someone. You know to, like that veteran I told you, young fellow that I met up in Washington. I was in uniform, so people, you know, sometimes they come to me. You know, when you're part of the program, then you get off the podium, and then they come to you. So there's a ministering that was going on there. And then when I was not in uniform and I was out with my family, then I met him, I was stirred to go over and talk to him. Wow, and some wonderful things were shared. See, it's not just you want to do something for God. It's God manifesting in you. Now, and Oswald goes on and he says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, there shall no evil befall you. No plague can come near you when you're one with God. Meaning on you. You will not be full of sin, anger, jealousy, dissensions, immoralities, all of that. That will not be you. You stay in the presence of God. You get to be like what you hang around. Prayer is hanging around God. Worship is hanging around God. Praise is hanging around God. We have to do that all the time. I'm not saying to go through Publix, you know, going, oh, thank you, God. They'll probably escort you up. Mm-hmm. Now, God says to do that. You're going to be good. He's going to do something with it. But you're not like, you know, oh, look at me and I'm praying. I'm not talking about that. It's that awareness of the power and the very presence of God. And Oswald goes on and he says, if you spend yourself out physically, you become exhausted. But you spend yourself out spiritually, you get more strength. And he says something else that's going to go along with when we go into Psalm 1. The saint is hilarious when he's crushed with difficulties. And I made a little note. I said, hilarious or delirious? You know, I know. You're He's hilarious when crushed with difficulties because the thing is so ludicrously impossible to anyone but God. Mm-hmm. So don't be frightened now. Be careful. Don't bring this stuff on yourself. You know, you go spending all your money, you go on two cruises, you know, and then you can't pay your rent. I mean, you're going to have some trouble. So, I mean, I'm not talking about stupidity. Don't ever let faith throw away common sense. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when these things, it's just like something goes wrong with your car, and then something goes wrong with your key. It's all at once. I say, God, if you just send me one trial at a time, we could do this. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah, that's you handling the trials. So when I allow certain things to come on you, I'm not trying to overwhelm you. I'm trying to draw you closer to me because you can't. I just want you can't do any of this stuff. Can you just stay close with me? Stay with me. Stick with me. So good. And sometimes and then he goes on. The last comment here is we have no conception of what God is aiming at, and as we go on, it gets more and more vague. Ooh, Lord, God's aim looks like missing the mark. Because we're too short-sighted to see what he's aiming at. I go, you know, that's true. I don't see what you see. I don't know what you know. I really feel that sometimes. In one of those sinking times I felt for myself in this ministry, I was crying out before the Lord. And I want to share with you what is. I just, God, what's going on here? See, God did define for us. He said, what I'm doing is larger than the geography here. And he's shown that over the years. The people that we've ministered to, the people that we ministered to through the website, through the daily, the blog, or what is it, three times a week that I do whatever gets posted, and the sermons and the things. People outside of here. God says, I'm in charge. Just let me do this. Let me do this. So I was really kind of feeling kind of dark one time. So, and I wrote this in, and I made a little note about in the thing, in the little blue journal. I went, what blue journal was that? And that thing I read to you before. I said, what? I don't have a blue journal. I looked all over it. I found this little thing that I had filled up at one point. And it says, I said, I am grateful, Lord, for this house. I have space and privacy and such great abundance. And then it was a number of people who were staying with me. And I said, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I looked over my life of my house. I'm, as a single person, I have a very large house. And I said, well, Lord, thank you so much. But I soon found out why I did, because someone's always living there with me. You know. But that's okay, too. That he keeps you humble when you do things like that. And I said, help me to be the proper servant. And I said, help me to help. And I said, I ask you, Lord, to speak to me now. I just don't know where things are going. I don't know what's happening. And he said, be encouraged. I am well pleased with your progress. I love it when God speaks like that because you don't know. You can't grade yourself. I go, God, I'm melting here. I will open a path before you. It will be well marked. You are really going to like this. I wrote this back in 2003. It says, the church... Pardon?
10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago. Yeah, geez, I'm old now. The church is fine. It is slow going because the ship's sides are being fortified for the strength needed. Ahead are rough seas, and you are being prepared to survive the battering. The crew is strong, trained, and healthy. There will be joy on the journey, not sadness, success, not failure, prosperity and abundance, not want. You are my people. I love you. I went, whoa. And then I wrote, oh, Father God, you are so marvelous. Forgive me for my fears and complaints. Lead me always in the everlasting way. And I just went, whoa. See, he speaks to you. I'm talking about being right with God. He's going to speak to you. Now, you have your handouts. So I want to read Psalm 1. Very, very short psalm. We won't be long this evening. As a matter of fact, I was challenged up in Washington because we had some storytelling. After I finished the invocation and the whole program was finished, and I had to go over to the we were at the Vietnam Memorial Wall. I had to walk over to the Women's Memorial, and we had 15-minute segments. And they said, "You're limited to 12 minutes, and 15 at the longest." So my family was laughing. They go, "You can't even say a blessing in 15 minutes," you know. So I said, "I'm taking the challenge. I'm taking the challenge," and I did it. So we're gonna do that. So we won't be lengthy tonight. So. Psalm 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Whoa, that's a command of God. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf doesn't wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. We love to hear all that first part, those first three verses. Oh, it's on God, you're going to help me, and the water's flowing, everything's smooth. The wicked are not so. They're like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Wow. People don't like to hear that. I'm not going to perish. I don't see anything wrong with that. Neither did I before I came to know the Lord. I was one of those. I didn't come to know the Lord till I was 30, unfortunately. I'd never read the Bible, and I was 30 years old. Boy, did God make a great change in that. Boy, did he open up the things. I'm so grateful, really, because I didn't have a lot of stuff up there that I already thought was a way. God taught me what needed to be done. And then over the years of studies and work and life on the planet here, he just does so many tremendous things. But in your handout, you have... I made a little list, and I kind of divided it up for us. The righteous, meaning the right ones, the ones who are right with God, and then the wicked, they're the wrong ones. This is what's going to happen and what goes on with them, and it's a compilation of what I just read in Psalm 1. That the righteous, you don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. They're always going to tell you, it's okay, just lie a little on your income tax, the government has more than we have, take it back. This justification, that's the counsel of the wicked. God says to give to Caesar what Caesar's. Hello? If Caesar keeps seizing, we're not going to have any life left. But anyways, that's beside the point. But golly, see, God counteracts everything. He tells you to be good and kind and generous. The directions for life are here. It's so powerful. You don't stand in the path of sinners. You're not out there with them. It doesn't mean you stay in your cute little house or you stay in your cute little Christian church and you go, oh, don't anyone talk to me. Oh, I'm so offended by your language. Oh, what are you doing? Jesus didn't go around and go, oh, excuse me, your language really stinks. Oh, he went right up to the adulterous woman. He spoke with her. He spoke life to her. Go and sin no more. He didn't say, go and play around or if you think it's better. Here, the accusers, he said, okay, any one of you guys haven't sinned, you throw the first stone. There you go. I can just hear those rocks. Click, 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 click. And they walked away. And she's there. And he said, and you were the sin. Now you go and you sin no more. He was saying what you were doing, your adultery was sin. He called it for what it was. Not because God is full of law. It's love now. They had to have law before because Jesus hadn't come yet. Think of it. They had the patriarchs. They had the kings. They had the law of Moses. They had all the ablutions and the temple and the priests and the prayers and the sacrifices, the hogs, dogs, and frogs. None of it stopped them from sinning. Because it did not change the nature. It only covered them by their obedience to whatever was current at the time. It kept God's wrath from them. But when Jesus came, he said, I come to give you a new and living way, not a dead way with the law. Meaning his spirit's going to be in and bring you life. So the law is, when you look at whatever God says, it's not just laws to do laws. They obeyed the law of adultery, but then they lusted in their heart. Jesus says, I'm telling you, the law told you not to commit adultery. You were okay with God. He held his wrath back. But I'm telling you now, because of who Jesus is and his forgiveness and the indwelling of his spirit, if you even lust after a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. Don't commit murder. I'm telling you, if you even have anger in your heart, you've committed. So he's saying, don't just think you're okay because you're not doing the big stuff. I'm talking about an inside job now, and only God can do that. No law. You have 1,000 laws. It doesn't change your heart and what you're going to do. Every law, if you don't, have you ever noticed? We have 300 and something thousand laws and probably now more on the books in our country to help us keep God's 10. You know, hello. It's not going to work. The morality has to come from your heart. If you have an Adam nature morality, it's going to be low level. It will accept lying, cheating, stealing, bribery, and all the rest that's out there. If you have a God nature, it's going to be going, no, no, honey. Ooh, don't do that. Oh, yes, do this. It's so, so powerful. So you can go through the list of what we said. You meditate on the law day and night, firmly planted. Your leaf won't wither. I mean, these are word pictures. It doesn't mean that you won't be hungry sometimes. It doesn't mean, we've all worked through that. Sometimes you lose a job. Sometimes you have to work two part times and a couple of full times, and you do what you have to do to serve the people that you are in your area of responsibility and to maintain that life before God. And God knows the way of the righteous, but look at the wicked. And they stand in, they do everything opposite. They sit with the scoffers. They don't delight in the law of God. Every single thing that God says to do right, those who are wicked, they don't do it. So you can read over that list. Also, I gave you a list too of Psalms in times of need. The Psalms are rich in terms of prayer and praise. So I just urge you to do that. In moments of despair, desperation and despair, there's all sorts of different psalms that were written that address that. Psalms of thanksgiving. Don't always be the complainer. Don't be the complainer in chief. Oh God, I don't have and I need and I want. How about getting some thanksgiving in there? Here's some. If you don't know how to do it, don't worry. The scriptures have everything for you. Just go ahead. But don't just read it. When you're reading it, speak it to God. It's down here. This is the heart. The things that were written in the Psalms were written by a man who suffered just as we do. By someone who experienced what we experienced, loving God but still sinning. God, I hate what I do. Help me not to do it. Boy, I tell you, what a difference in a life that you have. And then there's things about decision making and help against enemies, etc. I'm sure you can see that. Carolyn, if we want to, we could probably post the handout. I'll get with you later on that. We can post that online. But in terms of staying right with God, there's not a law or a legal reason. This is a marvelous God that we serve. This is a wonderful God that we serve. Don't let it be your ideas of what you think pleases God, because remember, the thinker's broken. Oh, I don't really see anything wrong with it. Well, your feeler and your wanter's broken. It has to be the death of yourself. That will not happen the day you come to Jesus Christ. This is a long journey. You're born. I mean, we can see this in the physical. You're born. The day you're born, you don't feed yourself and go to school. The day you're born, you need every single help for years with your feeding, with your walking, with your every single thing. You can't change your own pants. And we're the same way spiritually. People are just born into this thing with the Lord. They're like babies. That's why you're going to be... A lot of Christians have poopy diapers. They really do. I mean, you can smell their stink a mile away. They're lying, they're bitter, they're ugly, they're driving their car, get out of the way, that's my parking space, you know. And on the back there's a bumper sticker, Jesus is Lord. And I'm going, please take that bumper sticker off your car, because, or maybe you stole the car, I don't know, whatever happened. But you understand what I'm saying. People aren't all at the same place, but begin, start with Him. If Jesus is willing to put up with me and my stinky poopy diapers, and He's going to do the same thing for you. But at a certain point in your child's life, they don't have stinky diapers. They're taught what to do. They start helping with the laundry, mowing the lawn, going to school, doing their homework, getting a job. They grow up. They have maturity. Hopefully, this will continue with a forward progress here of excellence all of the time. As I'm always telling the young people, because I speak in the high schools and to the youth groups and to the cadets and the military, and 5 principles that God has given us, and I just wrapped them up in a little different package. Integrity first, sexual purity. That is just like scoffed at in today's world. Sobriety, service before self, and excellence in all you do. These are the things that God has said to do. Every decision made on those principles is going to bring it back eventually, maybe even immediately, but eventually it's going to bring it back good. We've gone away from those principles in this country. Other countries that are suffering greatly, they're picking up on Jesus Christ. They're seeing the freedom they have, and even in the midst of their mess, with His security, with His love. And I desire for us to really do that. Each one is in a certain place in their journey. Do not expect others to know what you know, to do what you do. You are not the example. Jesus is the example. I'm following Him. So if I mess up, correct me. But don't say there is no God, there is no Jesus, because you are a Christian and you followed up. I am seeking God with all of my heart. And sometimes I'm ignorant, sometimes I'm rebellious. And God's going to cover all of them. But that's no excuse for me. That's no excuse for you. But one good thing is He said that I'll forgive you. All of your sins, you just come to me and get clean. Now, you don't need to be saved 100 times over. You have that one experience with the Lord. But I call it road dirt. We pick up road dirt along the day. You know, people's language, our own attitudes, and we just... That's why getting into those scriptures daily, as much as is possible, daily, it's a washing by the water of the Word. It reminds you how God thinks and who He is and what we're supposed to do. God bless you.
God bless you.